Now we turn to Mark Weblink. He's not with USPTO. He's a professor up at New York University, but is leading this program, and he's actually joining us while he's on vacation. So we deeply, deeply appreciate him joining us. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Professor, for so much for joining us.
You're quite welcome, Chris, and I'm happy to be here with you and Amy.
So give us, for people who may not have heard about this program before, talk to us a little bit about what Peer for Patent is, how it works.
Well, the concept was to help improve patent quality by making sure that patent examiners had the best information in front of them when examining a patent application. And that kind of information, the term that's used in the patent industry is prior art, and what that means is pre-existing inventions that either embody the claimed new claimed invention or suggest the new claimed invention. And that may be in the form of pre-existing patents or patent applications, or it could be journal articles, software programs, almost anything that's embodied in a written document.
And part of the challenge here is the patent office is just there's an enormous backlog, years and years of backlog in getting through these. And so Peer to Patent was part of an effort to, in part, reduce that backlog, right?
Well, it was hoped that it would help reduce that backlog, but more importantly to help ensure that patent examiners could speedily get to the best prior art and make the best decisions possible about whether a patent application should mature into an issued patent.
So having the right information at the right time to make the best decision possible.
Exactly. And we were going to turn to the public, to technological experts, scientists, engineers, software programmers, and ask them to help in this process by helping identify some of the prior art that examiners typically don't find on their own. Examiners do an excellent job of finding pre-existing patents and patent applications. They don't need a whole lot of help there. And in fact, you'll find that in the vast majority of cases, what they find in those searches is sufficient to do their job. But there's a percentage of cases where the idea is not embodied in a pre-existing patent or patent application, but it is indicated in some other document that exists already. And so we were asking these citizen experts to help find those documents.
Well, the way you've explained it, it makes perfect sense. It's almost strange that it hasn't been going on like this for years. But this is an experiment that they were trying out. What lessons have been learned?
Well, there were a number of challenges to us. One was, would applicants themselves embrace this? Because it was a voluntary program. The patent office was not going to require applicants to participate. Secondly, could we find enough experts to help look at these patent applications and go find the prior art? And three, could they find useful prior art? Now, what we've learned is, yes, the applicants will participate if they know about the program. The first year we were in operation, we only got about 75 applications, and we were a bit disappointed because we were hoping to get about 250. But we were relying almost exclusively on students at our law school, New York Law School, to go find those applicants and encourage them to participate. Last December, the Patent Office started assisting us by sending notices to all the eligible applicants. And in the last 6 months, we've had almost twice as many applications come in as we had in the first year and a half of the program.
And
so the applicants will participate if they know about it.
Great. And I know there have been a process. One of the great things about having you guys involved with this is you have done, and this is the second report that you've done, sort of looking back at this, right?
That's correct.
And one of the great, in the report, we have it linked up on federalnewsradio.com, but you can actually go in and read that. But give us a sense as to what are some of the things that worked really well, and what did you go in and say, okay, this needs some work, because this kind of model is something that a lot of agencies are looking at.
Well, what we found worked well was at least dealing with a relatively narrow band of subject matter, principally patent applications in the area of software and business methods, that we could find the experts and that they would participate. The other thing that we found was they will produce useful prior art. Not in every case, but in approximately one case out of every four, they produced prior art that the examiners then relied on in their examination of the patent application. So those were really two very important things for us. We could find the people to participate, and they could produce useful prior art.
And I know often one of the concerns when you open these kinds of things up is, a loss of control. You know, all of a sudden, we're not controlling this process anymore. But also, are you going to get a lot of people just chiming in that just don't know anything about this process?
Well, we did. We probably worried a great deal on the front end of, will we simply get participants on the website who just want to, if you will, rant about a patent application. Oh, that's absurd.
Or even those who almost want to undermine the system.
Well, and what we found was, no, the people who participated were very mature in their approach. And we were sort of had mechanisms in place to help drive that, but we almost never had to use those mechanisms. People recognized it for what it was, and they were willing to participate.
But you did establish some processes to deal with that?
We did. We had some backup processes that said, look, if we get people on here who aren't really contributing and all they want to do is rant about a patent application, we're prepared to take those comments down because they're not what this site is about.
Is there anything that should have been done differently? Anything that didn't work quite the way you expected?
I think if the one thing that we would have changed was to do a far more effective job of reaching out to applicants on the front end to get them into the program early. And as I said, we got them in the last 6 months, but the first year and a half, it was pretty slow. Apart from that, though, we were very pleased with the outcomes. The participants, the peer reviewers, were happy to contribute their time. They enjoyed the process. And the patent examiners themselves said that they found the process to be quite useful. And well over half of them said, it made a meaningful contribution, and a vast majority of them said they would like to see it incorporated into regular patent office practice.
And you had to almost be thinking, and I mentioned this, that a lot of other agencies could use this kind of almost system to deal with some of the issues that they faced. Did you get a sense as you were going along in this process that there are lessons that other agencies, that this model could be applied in other places, other ways?
Well, and it's interesting that you should bring that up, because we have, in fact, been approached by other government agencies, both here in the U.S. and by the Canadian Government Education Ministry that in British Columbia, that was saying, hey, this kind of mechanism would be really useful to us as we're looking at new materials that are coming out all the time that our teachers are having to consider incorporating into their curriculum. And it's just too much for us to handle by ourselves. So if we had a mechanism like this where we could bring all the teachers in to where they could help touch the materials as we're going through the approval process, it could contribute a great deal.
Now, understanding that you're not with the office, PTO, understanding that and saying that up front, do you have any idea of where the program goes now or what happens next, or maybe what the most natural thing should be, the most natural step?
Well, we've got about 4 months' worth of work in front of us yet with all the applications that were forwarded to us by the PTO, and we should wrap that up in late October. The PTO is presently undergoing an examination of the program, determining whether it has made a meaningful contribution from their standpoint and whether they can make it into a cost-effective program, and we're going to be helping them with that. And I think, of course, the PTO is faced with challenging budget times right now, and that's the issue they've got to deal with. I'm glad it's not my problem, but my problem is trying to persuade them that this is a program that merits some of those scarce dollars in the near term. And I think what we'll see is probably sometime next year, a program, whether it's exactly like what we've done up until now or simply similar to it, but something along those lines will be incorporated into PTO practice at that time.